The things I'm interested in is a kind of exact solution for the case when one has some particle or few particles in some bus of elementary excitation. So example of this, the simplest example of such case is a polaron problem. In this case, one particle is just interact with the phonon field. Okay, first I will describe shortly the technique of exact generation of the Matsubara-Green function for the quasi-particle in bosonic bus without any approximation. Then I describe exact method of the analytic continuation to the real energies, which is not maximal entropy method, and which is method which in many cases works much better. Then I will generalize, will show the generalization of the technique to the two-particle Green function as an example as exciton. Then I will show several applications of this technique, such as Rasbo-Pekar exciton, charge transfer exciton. Then if you will have time, I will tell a little bit about magical number 4 for the Froelich polaron problem, which appeared as a result of the exact solution. And then, particularly if I will have time, then I will tell about TJ model with the phonon field, where phonon can be treated exactly, not in self-consistent Born approximation, but in an exact case. So to explain the technique, let us start from the simplest case of the polaron. In case of polaron, one has some quasi-particle with some dispersion, then the boson field, and then the quasi-particle boson interaction, which leads to the scattering of the particle due to creation of annihilation on phonons. Actually, for the method I will describe, it's all the same. One can take arbitrary dispersion of the quasi-particle, arbitrary dispersion of the boson field, and arbitrary vertex of the electron-phonon interaction. But as for result, I will tell about our studies of the Froelich polaron. So in case one has the case of the Froelich polaron, or any kind of polaron, whatever, Holstein polaron, it doesn't matter. One can look at the expansion of the Matsubara-Green function in imaginary time. And one can directly see from this expansion is that all the quantities which arise due to this expansion are positively definite. So the function of quasi-particle is simple exponent, which is positively definite. The phonon propagator is also some kind of exponent, which is also positively definite, and all vertexes come as squared.
This is an absence of hermitization, right?
Yes, this is one quasi-particle which interacts in this case, phonon bus. So,
finite temperature?
Yes, zero temperature.
Zero temperature.
Imaginary time, zero temperature. In principle, it's possible to do for the finite temperature, so I just described the simplest technique to give the understanding. So, if we consider some specific case of the diagram, and what we need in this case is just to generate the dependence of the diagram on imaginary time, then it's a well-known problem. It's the simulation of the dependence of multidimensional integrand of the external parameter. So it's well known how to do this in Monte Carlo. However, if one look at the simple, quite simple structure of the Feynman diagrams for the polaronic problem, one can see that there is only one Monte Carlo process which is necessary to switch between different topological classes of the diagrams. Just, for example, add and remove the phonon propagator. So I would not go to details of the technique, but just using this update. And if somebody needs for some details, one can come to me and I will explain very easily. So using only this process, just add and remove one more Magnon propagator, one can switch between all different classes, and then there is no any numerical error in this case. So if one able by this technique to generate the exact tau dependence of imaginary function, one can get a lot of information for the ground state properties, first of all. Especially easy it is in case of zero temperature, if one need only ground state properties.
But you still have to evaluate the diagram, no?
Yeah. Sorry?
But you still have to evaluate the diagram. Can you explain a little
How I evaluate the diagram?
Well, a little bit more. I mean, I can see that you can go from one diagram to another diagram, but you can use whatever way you want.
So each diagram has its own weight. What, for example, the weight of this diagram? So when I work with Monte Carlo with positively definite quantities, I should need I need only the weight. According to this expansion, the weight of this diagram just, one should multiply this electronic Green function by this electronic Green function, by this electronic Green function, by this propagator, which is also positively definite, and the square of the vertex. So this is the weight of this diagram. So within the subspace of this topology, since for each q, tau 1, tau 2, the diagram has its own weight, I can operate. I can just make the Monte Carlo. And the question is how to switch between different classes.
So you also do the Monte Carlo to the integration?
Yes, of course. So what I do actually, I just generate according to Metropolis different q, tau 2, tau 1, q, tau as an external parameter. And then I collect, in the simplest case, the histogram for the tau values. Then I have relative value of this function with respect to tau. But I know that for tau equals 0, this function is 1. So I can get the absolute value.
Sorry, I'm still confused by what exactly the algorithm is. I want to understand what is stochastic and what is not. So, the generation of the diagrams.
Yes, it's stochastic.
The evaluation of the integrals when you have a given.
Also stochastic. Also stochastic.
So everything is stochastic.
Everything.
And how do you decide how many, what's the maximum number of interaction line you're going to do?
I do not decide. So, actually, which update I used? So to describe the Monte Carlo, one should describe the updates which I used to get. Okay, let me consider this kind of diagram without switching between different classes. In this case, which updates are possible? First update, since all these vertexes are subjected to chronological constraint, then first possible update is just to change this tau. According to some probabilities, then according to Metropolis, just calculating the new weight one, either it can go or not go. Second possible update, just change this tau between this value and this value. Third possible update to change any of this tau. One more possible update is change the wave vector of the phonons Q1. And each time, one suggests one of the Monte Carlo updates, which changes one of the values within this diagram, and then accept or reject this move according to Metropolis. So this is how one operates within one subspace. Then, one process which one needs is just to switch between different classes. So, as I told, the only update which is necessary is just add and remove phonon propagators. How it is done? If I just come to the update, for example, add one more phonon propagator, then by a random number generator, one of these links is chosen. Then at this link, what is chosen by random number generator is the point tau prime, which is the starting point of the phonon propagator. Then by some probability density, chosen the next point of the Magnum propagator. Sorry, phonon propagator in this case. Then new diagram is generated, and accordingly, all the Qs of the magnum of the phonon propagators are changed according just subjected to the momentum conservation law. And then new weight of the diagram is calculated. Then, according to Metropolis algorithm, whether I accept this update, we change the topology of the diagram or not. So all the updates in this technique are done according to Metropolis algorithm. So there is no explicit integration, just as making numerical evaluation. Now the next question which you asked and which everybody asks is just the question whether how I can decide the number of graphs. Okay. Actually, the thing is the following. So this is the number of vertexes in the diagram. If I consider this diagram, just I limit the calculation of the Green function to some tau maximum. Let's say some tau maximum is involved. Then one can see, just looking at the number of the vortexes in the diagram, or the order of diagram, one can see that for given tau maximum, if one look at the Monte Carlo, there is the Gaussian distribution around some value, which is typical number, which corresponds to the order of diagram. So usually in computer simulation, I just made the maximum maximum order of diagram, which say n computer simulation. And usually I take computer simulation is much larger than the typical value of diagram. And I can say that I could calculate if I take this 10 times more than this Gaussian, then I could wait for the astronomic time and I would never get the diagram of such order. If it would happen, then this program code simply will stop, if it will happen. So usually the width of this typical number for given tau max is much less than this value. So one never reach the situation when this is very, very, very large order of diagram, much larger than the typical order of diagram.
And the value of n,
of course, if I am already in the asymptotic limit, that linearly. If I would take.
So it means that the calculation becomes costlier and costlier if you want to evaluate things in the long time limit.
Yes, of course. So it's depend linearly increase in time because I need to get the same statistic for all times. But actually, the typical value for Poisson problem, all typical energies are around 1. So one do not need to calculate more than up to 20. So in this case, one is safe. And the typical order, even for strong coupling cases, around 1,000. The typical order of diagram 1,000. So if one takes this computer simulation maximum is 10,000. That it would never happen that at 10,000 you could wait for years.
No, but in the Poisson problem, you can generate a very, very large mass, right? So that corresponds to very small energy scale and then to very long time.
Yes, in this case, when that factor is small, you mean when that factor of the pole is small. Okay, at alpha equal 20, it's something like 10 to the minus 6, but still it's enough generator up to tau equal 20. When we solve the TG model, so if I will have time and turn, in that case, I have to calculate up to 200. But still, it's more than enough. Because I will explain on my next transparency why it is enough. Due to exponential value. Okay, that was my transparency. Okay. Here is it. So how one can extract an information from this technique? So the simplest way is just if one have typical spectrum for the quasi-particle at zero temperature. There is some delta function. In case of interaction with the optic phonons, there is a gap which corresponds just to the energy of one phonon. And there is the incoherent path. So in most of cases, except self-sapping, which I will tell later, that is a very simple situation. Then if I look at the Green function, and then use the Lehmann function just for this equation, then one can see that for large enough imaginary time, nothing survives in the asymptotics of the Green function except this pole. And all excited states are just suppressed by this exponent in an exponential manner. So which means that even if this resonance is something like 10 to the minus 6, then sharp exponential dependence will suppress the influence of the incoherent part. And even for small enough time, I mean tau equal 20 due to exponential function, one left only with the influence to the asymptotic of this lowest lying resonance. In this case, what one can do is just extract the Z factor and the energy of the pole. So if one treats the logarithm of the Green function, then finally, at some times which are a little bit more than the phonon times, Green function is already in asymptotics. And this asymptotic value is just nothing but logarithm z factor minus Polaron energy multiplied by tau. So one can get Polaronic energy and z factor of the resonance. Okay, so however, this is not the best way. And what one can do, I will not go into details, I will just explain a little bit about technique which gives possibility obtain even the wave function of the polaronic cloud. So in this case, in spite of generating the green function of the quasiparticles, one generates the green function where quasiparticle is created together with phonons, with several phonons. How many phonons is just was decided by Monte Carlo process. So one of the updates is just add and remove two phonons which are attached to the end. And just looking at this grand function, one can get exact relation that for asymptotic behavior, one gets the following thing, and this is just the component of the wave function to the square, which corresponds to the polaronic cloud contain n phonon which accompany the exciton. So using this technique with the phonons which are created and annihilated together with the particle, one can get the many phonon green function, and in this way one can evaluate the z factors and even the q dependence, q distribution in the polaronic cloud. So in this case, if one can separate the ground state from the excited state by the gap, and this is sometimes very easily to do at zero temperature, then one can get enormous information about the quasiparticle in the bus, up to the wave function squared, of course, because this is the Monte Carlo. The next thing which is desirable to do is just to understand something about excited states. And in case of excited states, the thing what should do is just to get the analytic continuation to the real frequencies. So actually for zero time, just to get, for example, the Lehmann function, one should solve this kind of equation, which is well known as an ill-defined problem, and usually solved by the method of the maximal entropy. Actually, we tried to employ our method, employ the method of maximal entropy, but didn't succeed due to the reason that for zero temperature, the Lehmann function is just a delta function or several delta functions and then a coherent part. And this is why we tried to make another method, which to our mind is better than the method of the maximal entropy. So let me start with just, maybe everybody knows this, but I will, for the sake of completeness, will repeat some basic principles of the difficulties of the solving of this equation. So the main difficulty in solving of this equation, if it is done in any method, is so-called sawtooth noise. So if the actual spectral density is some smooth function, say semicircle, then if I try to solve this equation, one gets this kind of strong pikes. And due to the reason that these strong pikes are very similar to saw, so it's called sawtooth noise instability. And usually this instability is treated in the way that one add to the right-hand side of the equation some functional, the name for this functional is regularization function. And this functional depends on the derivative, first derivative, second derivative, depends on the choice of this functional. And the purpose of adding this function is just to suppress high derivatives of the spectrum. So in case when high derivatives are suppressed, then the spikes will be suppressed, and one can get smooth solution. Unfortunately, this is not valid for the case which is typical for zero temperatures. Because in that case, one has delta functional peak, or several delta functional peak, and some smooth density of state. In that case, delta functional peak would never reproduce well because it's infinite derivative. So one cannot operate by maximal entropy methods in this case. So the first aim for us to create the new method, some new method, was just to get rid of the regularization procedure, which enters to all existing methods, including maximal entropy method, because maximal entropy method also implies regularization by the entropy term. The second thing we wanted to get rid of, and this is very important for the cases, for example, when 99% of the spectral density is a delta function, and what we are concerned by is just the incoherent part which contains less than 1% of the spectral density. So all the methods which exist usually discretize the energy space. And then this integral equation is transformed into the set of the algebraic equations. And these algebraic equations are solved at some energy points. So it's used predefined discretization of the omega space. So one can easily understand, so if the actual delta function of the spectrum comes between these two points, then the spectral density which describes the incoherent part just goes wrong. So our aim was to get rid of these two drawbacks. First is the regularization, and second is to get rid from the predefined discretization of the omega space. Do not laugh, because idea will be as stupid as possible. Okay, we have the spectral function. And we parameterize the spectral function by the set of any single, for example, say rectangulars, and doesn't matter, it could be triangles, semicircles. Okay, set rectangulars. And then each rectangular is described by a continuous variable. It's height, width, center. And there is some number of these rectangulars, and number of these rectangulars is not fixed. The only constraint is just the average, the complete area of this rectangular is 1, or maybe just some fixed number. It's just a spectral density normalization. And then if this number is not fixed, that I have possibility to approximate any function by any predefined accuracy. So let me just use such kind of parameterization, which I will call configuration C. And then,
can I ask a question? So you're basically expanding this function on the basis. You've chosen the basis of square, I think, here.
Yeah, I can choose.
Why not use a wavelet basis, if you want to have really sharp features as opposed to square signals?
Yeah, but delta function is very narrow rectangular, which is very high. So it doesn't matter. You can use triangles, whatever you like. So you can choose any parameterization. So maybe it's most easier to calculate the deviation using rectangles, but it really doesn't matter.
That's not clear. You know, in the signal processing in computers, they actually found that the wavelet transform is much superior if you have sharp features like edges of faces and stuff like that. It's not all clear that the square signal is more. Can you in fact compete with the wavelet transform?
Okay, maybe one can use a better parameterization, but I found that this parameterization is enough to get the for practical purposes, so maybe one could increase.
It's almost wavelet. In my understanding, it's like multi-grid.
No, shape can be any. One rectangular can go over another rectangular, so you just should sum up this rectangular. So. I told you, as stupid as possible. So.
Is this not grossly overcomplete?
Sorry?
Because you have all possible heights, all possible.
All possible heights, all possible widths, all possible locations, or whatever. It's more than complete. It's all complete.
There are nice algorithms for determining the expansion of a signal in a wavelet. I mean, I don't know how to do that here.
Well, as I said, this is a special wavelet.
So you're saying it's easy to give, if I give you a function, it's easy to determine how to express that as linear combination of these?
Yes, of course, it's very easy. So
if you
yes, of course.
That's
okay.
And this was the main idea.
the assumption is that there aren't that many k's. There aren't that many of these rectangles.
Okay, for I told you that number of rectangulars is not fixed. So of course, due to the sake of computer memory, you should fix this number, whatever, 1,100. But for practical purposes, I can say that Kao maximum would be maximal number of rectangulars would be not larger than 200. So for practical purposes, it's usually enough.
But when you minimize this distance that you define below, I mean, you must find several minimum.
Sure, and this is the main idea. Just, I'm not necessary, you just will tell what is the idea. Idea is the following. Let me describe one step of the procedure. So let me generate initial configuration of this rectangulus, say by random number generator. So random number generator would provide us number of rectangulus, initial rectangulus, its heights, widths, everything. So just only subject to this constraint. Then we try to minimize the measure.
Yeah, how do we know that this measure is the best one as opposed to some other non-linear measure?
I mean, you can try other one, but what was the reason when I choose this measure was the following. So this is a deviation between Green function, which is obtained from the Monte Carlo calculation, and this is Green function, which is obtained from the parameterization. And this is divided by the Green function, which is obtained from the Monte Carlo simulation, because for zero temperature, sometimes happens that at the scale of 20, Green function drop up to order of 6. But I should wait with the same representativity, small taus and large taus. Actually, measure doesn't matter, but this measure happened to be quite effective. Okay, so at one step, I generate with a random number generators all initial configuration. Then I minimize this measure using some rather stochastic process. So it's not maybe necessary to come into the details, but during this minimization process, I can do such things as shift rectangulus, change the width of rectangulus, change the height of rectangulus, change the number of rectangulus to bone new rectangulus, which are subjected to the normalization constraint, to split rectangulus and whatever. And actually, when I will minimize this measure, you will say that I have not any success, because the configuration would be looked in the following way. It will be nearly delta functional peak in the place when there are delta functional peak. But as for smooth density of states, there will be really huge fluctuations. So you say, I have no success. Okay, let I start the next step. In the next step, again, with a random number generator, I just again do this initial configuration and then minimize the measure again. If I do, it depends on the which quality you want to reach. 100 steps, 200 steps, 1,000 steps. Then one can see that I will get rid from the sawtooth noise instability. First of all, due to the following reason. Each time I generate this measure statistically independent way, by random number generator. Then I minimize this measure also using some random number procedure. So I choose my updates to minimize this measure in a random way. The measure is linear. The Green function is linear with respect to the configuration, with respect to parameterization on configuration. So finally, I get some of the linearly independent and stochastically independent solution. And as I will show in the further transparencies, some tests, then one can really see that I get rid of the following thing. I get rid from the regularization because there is no explicit regularization. I add nothing to smooth derivatives. Then I have no any predefined parameterization of the energy space, because all variables which parameterize the function are continuous. Third one, I got rid from the sawtooth noise instability using many stochastically independent runs. So in this case, you're completely right. There is no one unique solution. There are many solutions.
What is the topology actually of this energy space, of the surface? Does it have obviously it has to have many minima. You have an idea how the number of these minima depends on the OK or is it an optimization problem?
Of course, no. Because it is necessary for maximal entropy method. What is one of the general assumptions of the maximal entropy method? Is that one has Gaussian distribution of the errors for the Green function. And then actually, this is assumption which is used by maximal entropy method. But maximal entropy method knows nothing about the real energy relief of this multivariable space. So do I. I also do not know.
But this can be measured. Statistics of
yes, of course. If you look at the statistic, of course, I was also very curious with this question when I started this, but I'm not. Because I see that it works without this information, but anyway, when I started, this thing, I look, okay, I will always use, this is x-axis, this is y-axis. Okay, in this case, let I will put here the deviation, measure of deviation, and here the average number n over n total, which happens for this measure to be when I, for example, made 100 runs. Okay, this is a relative number which corresponds to the deviation delta. Of course, due to errors which are present in the Green function, which I get for Monte Carlo. So there is some minimal value of measure, delta minimal. And of course, it could not be closed because there is this parameterization gives rather smooth function, and this function has fluctuations due to Monte Carlo error. And then if you look like, you would get some kind of Gaussian with a little bit shifted value by delta tilde. So what one will get if look. So it's Gaussian from the very beginning. I mean, I have no any assumption. So this is the random sampling due to this procedure. I have random sampling of this relief which corresponds to the multidimensional space of deviation. But in this case, what I get is just some kind of Gaussian distribution. So I don't know, but due to really linearity of this problem and linearity and stochastically independence of all the runs, what I get is just a direct sampling of this relief. Did I answer your question? So this is why I'm not interested anymore in this problem. So somehow it samples in a Gaussian way. I don't know why, but it works.
If you ask me, what kind of functions
so what kind of function does that apply? Okay, so if I average all this stochastically independent, I get final solution which get rid from all the drawbacks which are pertinent to the maximal entropy method. And which for zero temperature, I can claim that this is quite exact method, because in case of zero temperature, I can calculate my Green function in principle up to very large imaginary tau. There is no limitation which is given by the temperature. So in this case, large asymptotic behavior for large imaginary tau fix me just small omega part of the spectrum, and then part by part this code can reproduce spectrum with many details. As for large temperatures, depends on temperature. If temperature is quite high, what does it mean quite high? One should just try. If the temperature is comparable with the average area of the spectrum, then it could be quite difficult, because the problem becomes to be really ill-defined, because sometimes it's not enough computer accuracy to get rid of this problem of ill-defined nature of this problem. But if temperature is, say, a few times less than the spectrum which is calculated, then for fermionic degrees of freedom, As I tried maybe not so long ago, just a few months ago, it's possible to obtain the solution. Okay, I will show some tests which I think that most of you had been acquainted with the maximal entropy method and can say that it's quite difficult to make such kind of spectral analysis with the maximal entropy method. So let us assume that there is some incoherent part with the energy scale from 0 to 2, so this dotted line, and then it has micro gap with the size 10 to the minus 2, and then there is a delta function which contains, say, several percent of the spectral density. Then what I show here is just that we can reproduce the spectrum with this small delta function, micro gap, and large scale of incoherent parts, which is two orders of magnitude different from this micro gap, using our method. And if somebody thinks that it is possible to do by the maximal entropy method, please give me an example. How it is possible to obtain such fine structure of the spectrum. But in this case, for zero temperature, it is possible.
Can you explain a little bit more what was done here? So you have a model spectral density?
Yeah, just I choose a model spectral density. Mm-hmm. So delta function, micro gap 10 to the minus mm-hmm. 2, and large incoherent part up to 2. So after that, using the relation between spectral density and Green function, I calculated the Green function and put some noise on it.
You put some noise. Right?
Yes, some small noise.
To reconstruct.
And try to reconstruct.
Right. And that was done for a certain noise level.
Yes, of course.
I suppose it's small as compared even to that small gap, otherwise there is no reason.
What I could say about noise? So in our case, the definition for the noise is just G tau I is a Green function which I got from the Monte Carlo, minus G tau I is a Green function which I got from the parameterization, divided by G tau I, the Green function which I've got from Monte Carlo. So if I plot this function, this is I, and this is this function, then if it is perfectly fitted, one can get the following dependence on this function. So it means that it just minimizes measure, just going from the center. And this, I would like to say, delta statistical errors for the Green function. So, okay, if we have good calculated Green function with the value of this noise, something like 10 to the minus 4, so for many cases, when we studied cases of self-trapping of polaron, when spectrum contains, for example, 4 delta function and then incoherent part, in that case, we had to reach this noise up to 10 to the minus 4, so it's quite an extensive calculation which needs a lot of time. But if the spectrum is quite simple, sometimes it's enough to have 10 to the minus 3. And here, on the right side of this transparency, one can see example how it works. So this is, I consider this as a very simple spectrum, so some kind of this figure. So if errors are 10 to the minus 3, just these errors which I defined here, then the method easily reproduces not only the center and momentum, so this peak, it easily reproduces even the shape of this peak. But if this error is 10 to the minus 2, then this such things might happen. So the first, second moment are well reproduced, but the shape is a little bit distorted. So of course it's quite dependent on the... So if we need to get really fine picture, we should get small errors. But these errors are the only source, because in this method we do not use any of the approximation which are pertinent for the maximal entropy method. But of course, if there is no information in the Green function, this delta are too large, or there are not so many points. For example, people say, okay, for some beta I calculated 15 points, give me the spectrum. I cannot give the spectrum because there is not enough information in the Green function. Yes, of course I can see. So if the fitting is not good, so means that this deviation has not reached its minimum, then this function, instead of being fluctuating around zero, it goes in the following way. So it still can be fitted due to, still these errors can be done smaller. And this, it already means if every fluctuation goes around zero, it means that the fitting is okay.
Well, maybe you can, this deviation, the quality of your fit, you can measure not just by looking at this by naked eye, but you can probably make stochastic some analysis. How, for example, this looks like the spectral one, so-called spectral wandering in noise. I mean, you can probably do some high-order correlation functions that you can measure what's how good the deviation and put that in numbers. Is this done standardly or just look at it and
I am too lazy to look at each run when there is several hundreds necessary. So what I do actually, I do it in the most stupid way as usually. So I create maybe 30 runs, 30 attempts to fit the function, and then choose a deviation which is a deviation for the 10 best one. And then I look at this deviation, if everything is okay, then I say, okay, let this delta would be for the further runs.
How do you know just by looking at naked eye, this is good enough? Well, sometimes it's not so easy to tell. I mean, of course, I understand that if you have a terrible fit, then you can obviously tell, but I mean...
Okay, there is function. The strategy is the following. So let us assume that nearby, this is a good Monte Carlo, very good Monte Carlo, and nearing points are not correlated. So for continuous time Monte Carlo, which we use, this is really the case. So in continuous time Monte Carlo, nearby points are not correlated. So in this case, one can calculate the correlation function. So it has happened very often. There's a deviation is plus for many points, and then the deviation is plus for the nearing point. Just I calculate the correlation function which corresponds to the sign of the deviation. If this correlation function is too high, then it is very bad. If it is always the case when the signs of the nearing points are not correlated, I consider the fit as being very good. But usually, I have to say, I told you all the story without technical details, so and it seems to me that I should not deep into these details. So actually, at the first step, I use initial configuration as generated by the random number. But after making 100 of iteration, so I get good 100 good configurations. Then I mix this configuration by random number and then consider this configuration as a starting configuration. So finally it converged to this case. So I would not like to go into details because I should not describe the code of 10,000 lines to how to make this procedure effective. Just I would like to give idea and just to persuade us that I didn't use any of the approximation which are pertinent for the maximal entropy method and other popular methods. So what we've done using this, how much time I have? Because if I will come to physical pictures which we studied. Sorry?
35.
You will be tired. Me too. We can continue on Monday when my seminar should actually. Because just what I want to say now is just about physical properties. This is one more hour. Sorry. There were too many questions.
So let's continue on Monday.
Okay. So thank you for attention.